But first, lost income, lost lives, and lost potential. These are some of the categories explored in today's Metropolitan Planning Council study on the cost of segregation. The MPC has been working on this study for years. We talked about it back in 2016. Today, it was released. So what's it say? Well, it says we're paying a ton to live separately. One of the co-authors is Alden Lowry, the Director of Research and Evaluation for the Metropolitan Planning Council. Alden, great to see you.
Justin, great to see you.
All right, so let's get into this. This is a big story today. It was all over the papers. You guys released it. You know, this was something you guys have been working on for a while. You know, I kind of, tongue-in-cheek say we're paying a ton, but really that is the finding.
Indeed. And essentially what we've done is we partnered with the Urban Institute. Conversation started literally about 2 years ago, and it started with two questions. The premise that while we may believe that segregation, we know it's been with us, particularly here in Chicago, we know that it's been a particular problem for our city and to some extent to our region. And I think the thinking is for many people is segregation is really hurting people of color, poor people. You know, those are the people who are really losing out. We started this research with the premise and the thought that, well, are we missing the boat there? Is segregation really having an impact on all of us? Are we as a region being hurt by that?
And this study is not about how it's impacting just one part of segregation. No, it's how it affects us as a city.
Exactly. And so we contracted with the Urban Institute to actually do the empirical research. And what Urban did was they measured segregation for the 100 largest metros in the nation, for economic segregation, and for racial segregation between African Americans and whites and between Latinos and whites. Then they also looked at a host of quality of life indicators, if you will, income, life expectancy, homicide rate, and bachelor's degree attainment for all of these metros. And it did a regression analysis, holding steady for some control variables, which include the size of population, manufacturing jobs, and other things that they believe to be associated or could be associated with segregation. And what they came up with was three statistically significant findings, which we share in our report. And the Urban Institute released a report themselves, which is an academic report, which goes much more into detail about a national scope and also about their methodology and things of that nature. Our report, we mimic Urban's numbers. We report the numbers that they found for Chicago in particular, and then we added a few numbers of our own based on supplemental research that was done and some analysis that we've done. So what's the cost?
Yeah.
What we say is that, and we express the cost essentially by looking at where the levels of segregation are in Chicago, in the Chicago region, and that impact on those indicators, and what those indicators would look like in the Chicago region if the Chicago region's level of segregation were at the median.
Got it. Yep.
What Urban found was a statistically significant relationship between black-white segregation and per capita black income. Generally speaking, as the levels of black-white segregation rise, when you look across these 100 metros, you see the level of black income, per capita income, decrease. So essentially, when African Americans live in less segregated regions, they earn more per person. And so when we apply that to Chicago, where the ranking for black-white segregation was 10th in the nation, and we look at where Chicago could be if it were at the median, essentially between 50 and 51, right in the middle, we find that African Americans, generally speaking, would earn about $3,000 more per person. And that's, again, because when we look at those median metros, those metros that are at the median for black-white segregation, African Americans are earning
take away from the report that if segregation wasn't at the levels that it is in Chicago, if it were lower, that there is a $3,000 discrepancy for someone who African-American making the same or doing the same job as someone who's white.
Yeah, and I'm saying earnings, and we're technically talking about per capita income, so this is per person. So
we're
talking about people who
are
earning. It's
billions of dollars, but you're
right. $4.4 billion overall for the Chicago region. And when you look at that, so you say, okay, great. African Americans would be making more money in Chicago if segregation were lower. But, you know, there's an actual impact to the entire region as a result of that. And that $4.4 billion is money that would be used in the economy here. And when we see a boost of that level to the economy in income, we think that translates to an $8 billion boost to the gross domestic product.
How does that apply? I mean, I know the Institute did the work on it, but how does that play out in the sense that, I mean, is it hard to prove that because there are communities that live segregated from other communities that if they weren't, if everybody lived on the same block and everyone lived in the same neighborhood, you'd be able to see a marked difference in income.
And the struggle with a study like this, or really with any study, is that term prove or proof.
Right.
And so, you can get very close with empirical research like this. You can control for a lot of factors, but we can't necessarily say definitively that A causes B. We can't necessarily say that levels of segregation cause the income of African Americans to decline or increase. You know, there's just no way to really kind of add all of the variables that, could possibly be at play. But what they've done is they've made a very reasonable guess, if you will, about the impact. And what they found is that, and I'm getting a little bit into statistical speak here, but to the 90% confidence level, what they're saying is that the relationship that they see, you know, they're 90% certain based on this research that that's not caused by some randomness or coincidence. Like, there is actually a relationship. It may not necessarily be a causal relationship, but we can't say that it's not a causal relationship. What we can say is that these two variables are intrinsically related to one another, and there's some level of influence. And so based on that, they say we can presume that the level of black income would be higher in the Chicago region if its levels of black-white segregation were lower, because when we look at other metros,
that's what we see. Is it one affects the other, meaning the $4.4 billion? Is it $4.4 billion that's would be added to African-American salaries? Is that taken from somewhere else, or does the or is the idea that there that would just be an add plus? And, plus, you know, does that make sense?
This is one of the struggles with this kind of research. So the research is telling us the what and not necessarily the why. I mean, you know, so I would be speculating to say why that difference happens. But I do think that if you, and this is just kind of based on some knowledge of the way the our particular region is kind of put together, when you look at it's essentially the very densely populated parts of the Chicago region that are predominantly African American, you see a lot of struggles.
Right.
And that's not to say that that's the only things that are happening there, but there are a number of struggles there. And so there's an impact, I think, that carries weight in those regions, regardless of what the individual person in those individual people in those regions are doing. So, case in point, I live on the south side of Chicago. Working, you know, doing relatively well for myself. My home, the home that I live in, the home that I bought, is extremely undervalued. And a big part of the reason why is because of where I live and the character of that neighborhood and the character that is at least perceived about that neighborhood. Because you can actually go into some spaces in Black Chicago and you might expect one thing and you'll find something completely different.
And you, Alden, I mean, from your days at the Chicago Reporter or even the Better Government Association, this has been something that has been historical in Chicago. The fact that there have been properties that have been undervalued or areas of Chicago because of the ethnicity, automatically the property values are lower. I mean, this is inherent to Chicago, not just Chicago, any urban setting or city.
Right.
So how do you separate sort of the fact that that's sort of a well-known entity, meaning that, you know, I guess it would be casual or, you know, unscientific, to the fact that this is now pointing to the fact that quality of life and the idea of property or values of those properties is actually is a cost to the city of Chicago?
I mean, I think intuitively we know this. I mean, those of us who, you know different parts of the city relatively well, we know this. We at least, even if we can't necessarily articulated, and that's what the study was meant to do, to try to give us at least some idea of what this is costing us. And so the research gives us a number. And again, you can pick and play with that number and attack the methodology and all of that to some degree, and that's fine. But the numbers give us, I think, a solid at least ballpark figure of what this is costing us. And again, it's based on research looking across the nation, many similar metro areas to Chicago, and this is what we see. And so this is what the Urban Institute is suggesting.
Yeah.
And that's just one of the findings, you know, just to quickly get through the other two major findings. They're also showing that there is a connection between black-white segregation and the level of homicides. And so essentially, if, again, the level of black-white segregation in the Chicago region were to drop to the median, what we'd see is a 30% fewer homicides in the Chicago region. And just for example, the city of Chicago, 760 plus homicides in 2016, the most in literally, you know, 20 years. And we're talking about 229 fewer murders if you apply that 30% reduction.
That's a huge reduction, yeah.
And there's an economic cost to that as well. Supplemental research that we looked at from the Center for American Progress shows that in research that they did on the Chicago region and seven other metros, is that every time you have an additional homicide in a zip code, you essentially see a 1.5% reduction in the residential property values.
Really?
In those zip codes. And that's regardless of whether you have 30 murders or three murders. And so this is a detriment to any part of the region, regardless of how safe or violent those regions are. And so, again, when we say that there is a cost overall, there's a cost overall. And even though when people think about the problems of homicides in Chicago, they may say, well, that's really only happening here.
Yeah, it's not my problem right now, right?
But what we're saying is that the region as a whole suffers because of, generally speaking, that stigma of the Chicago region, people outside of the Chicago region, maybe even outside of the city, they don't understand necessarily the problems of Inglewood as compared to the problems of Lincoln Park or what have you. People in Buffalo or in New York City or whatever, and they're thinking about Chicago, and is Chicago a place to locate their business? Is Chicago a place to come visit? Is Chicago a place to visit for a convention or something like that, or a place to move your family? They're going to listen to those stories.
Right,
and
right.
So that's also something in a way
impact
that the region is impacted.
Let's talk about the third category.
The third category is looking at the level of bachelor's degrees that are attained. And what the Urban Institute found was that as the levels of black-white segregation, again, as levels of black-white segregation increase, you see a decline in the levels of bachelor's degrees attained by both whites and African Americans.
Huh.
And so this is one finding that is particular to whites that I think was a surprise to some degree, but we thought was imperative for us to mention as to articulate that this is a very broad cause to segregation. And actually, the impact is greater on whites. 78% of those 83,000 bachelor's degrees that we would see in the Chicago region, if we were to fall to the median of black-white segregation, would be bachelor's degrees for whites, 22% bachelor's degrees for African-Americans. And again, and that's looking at the way Urban has articulated that, is that if we were at the median for black-white segregation in 2000, by 2010, a decade later, we would have 83,000 more people with bachelor's degrees in the region.
The whole study, the Metropolitan Planning Council study on the cost of segregation is amazing. It's out now. One of the co-authors, Alden Lowry, in studio, is director of research and evaluation for the MPC. Last question, just what's next? I mean, you put this out, you've been working on this for 2 years. I mean, are you guys tasked with ending segregation? Is that the idea? The next study is to move towards how we're going to see a future of the city of Chicago?
Well, the next step for us is taking a look at what can we reasonably do to address segregation. And I think that, from the outset, we certainly know that we're not going to cure segregation. Segregation is something that is probably always going to be with us. I would say certainly it is always going to be with us. But are there ways we can see improvements? And we think from the results of the first study that we can find some objectives that can actually make progress. Progress, because we've seen progress happen. Atlanta, for us, has become a key example. Their black-white segregation ranking fell from 21st in 1990 to 41st in 2010. And in that time, it's roughly a 40% reduction in their measurement of black-white segregation. So something's happened in the Atlanta metro area that we really want to take a closer look at and figure out.
Well, you guys
and
are
even,
on it. Yeah.
Even Chicago has seen a minor reduction in its level of black-white segregation by a much lower percent, 10%. And so we want to even take a closer look at what's happened locally to figure out, okay, what kinds of things have we done? In what areas have we seen changes happen? And is there something we can learn from that we can maybe expand upon and do more of?
Alden Lowry, Director of Research and Evaluation for the Metropolitan Planning Council, put out the study today on the cost of segregation. Alden, great convo. Great to see you, and I can't wait to continue this conversation with you in months to come.
Same here. Let's do it, man.